Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Scott, and I am pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anne, who is here to speak with us about her experience of our virtual meditation practice. Welcome, Anne.
Hey, Scott.
Hi. So just to let people, thanks for joining us. So
sure,
just to let people know. Absolutely. So just to let people know who may not be familiar, virtual meditation is a practice of meditating with folks around the country and, well, actually around the world through dialing into a conference line where on the other side of the line is a facilitator guiding our sit. So Anne, maybe you could tell us about your experience of this practice.
Yeah, well, I had seen it on the web page for years, and I had never actually done it until this year, and there were just so many different time availabilities of virtual meditation that I thought, surely I can do one of those. And so I scheduled myself to do one of them, and then I just found that I enjoyed starting my morning that way. So I would do Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's just become my schedule starting at the beginning of this past year.
Wow. So you just decided, you'd seen it, and I was like, okay, there's all these options, I'm going to do it. And isn't that amazing? You can actually, it sounds like you're doing it 4 days a week. And I think I took a look, and it looks like we have meditations almost every day and sometimes twice a day. And so you've made quite a commitment, and it's just a part of your schedule now. That's kind of what you do.
Yeah, exactly. I had sort of had some health issues and some other things where I wasn't showing up for myself and or others. And I thought that this particular year would be a really good time to start practicing showing up on a schedule. I had kind of lapsed on doing that. I had been practicing having no schedule.
And from what I'm hearing you saying, you know, it kind of reminds me, we want to show up, don't we? You know, you want to do the practice, and you had some other health issues and practicing no schedule. And it sounded like just needed a little support, and here it is. Here's virtual meditation that you can call into and have that support to show up, because other people are doing the exact same thing you are, kind of showing up together.
Yeah. I really felt part of Sangha and community, and I didn't really have that in my physical life because of certain health things, so I couldn't show up on my usual, like, things that I was more social, let's say. And so this gave me an ability to participate and feel part of community, show up for myself, and practice meditation, which I had also wanted to be practicing.
Well, it's another good point, too, right, that we want to participate. You know, we want to be a part of Sangha. We want to be a part of the community. And all kinds of things can kind of get in the way of that, you know, including health issues or whatever, the kind of things getting in the way. And just to have a place to practice that participation, that seeing that we are a part, we are doing this together, which we can forget, right, unless we have something like this practice to show up and see, oh, I am a part of Sangha. We're actually all sitting together in meditation. Wow. Right now.
Yeah, it's really, really powerful. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity, all the opportunities that are offered. And this particular one, just there's so many availabilities. And there's a way you could practice in the morning and then also in the evening if you could get that in your schedule. But just so grateful for the practice and Sherry and Living Compassion and Jen and Michael and everybody, just everyone in Sangha who shows up also for open air and for all the virtual meditation facilitators. Yeah. Like, they show up. There they are, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Gosh, I know what you're saying. It's like we start to practice and show up and see ourselves as a part of this community, which we are, a part of the Sangha. And from what I hear you saying, it's just all this gratitude just overflows. You know, it's like, and I'm grateful for virtual meditation, and I'm grateful for open air and for Sherry and for the books and for, you know, and it just goes on and on.
Absolutely. And actually, right before the calling in on the phone call tonight, I couldn't find a pen and paper to write down something. And of course, the ego just dropped in and I had a little moment. And then I'm like, breathe, whatever happens will happen and you'll show up. And that's, you know, there was a great opportunity right there in that moment to practice all the meditation moments and everything.
That's so fun, right? So here you are practicing with virtual meditation. And in that moment, you know, you're having that sense of belonging and showing up and being a part of community. And then the training's happening, right? And so here you are in another situation, not virtual meditation, but you're about to get on this call. And here comes the voices. And you use, you know, the practice that you've been practicing right now. Oh, just breathing. And that, it sounded like some kind of reassurance from the mentor. And giving, doesn't it?
it's very humbling, and how quickly it's just there, and then you're like, oh, okay, go through my body,
and we can project that it's so quickly there because you've been practicing, as you said, you've been showing up, you know, 4 times a week, and I'm sure. To many other things as well. And when we do that, then it is available to us, exactly as you laid out. It's really really humbling and powerful of you, as you've described it.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you, Anne. This has been great to have the time with you here. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with us before we turn the show back over to Michael and Sherry?
I just really am grateful for our practice and everyone in Sangha, and the saying that we say after the meditation about choosing suffering. We're here to end suffering. If I'm choosing something, my brain has just gone blank on what the words are, but
you're right there. So we didn't mention that, but we get to practice the daily recitation and the daily recollection during the meditations also. So we're hearing those words that guide us, you know, that we can choose life over suffering.
Yes.
The choice is there, and it sounds like you're having that experience. You've been practicing that, including right before the open air today.
Yes.
Wow. Well, thank you. That's a great note to end on. Very inspiring.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much,
Anne.
Nice chatting with you.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Anne. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. That was a fun conversation.
Yes, it was.
I have to tell you, I really appreciated what Anne said, because about the time it sounds like she was having her little moment of practice opportunity, I was having a little moment of practice opportunity. And Yes, yes, and seeing exactly what she was saying. How when we practice in that way, you know, we show up, we practice, we participate, we practice, and then comes a moment in life when things might not be going just exactly the way we would have wished, and we can have just a little moment of, right? And then it just comes right in, right? If we are here to end suffering, if I am choosing something over ending suffering, then I don't need to be surprised. It doesn't say this, of course, but I don't need to be surprised that I'm suffering. And the power of showing up in that way and practicing and training ourselves. So there's what happens to us when we're sitting in meditation, and then there's what it's doing for us in the rest of our lives. And she just so beautifully brought that to, you know, shone a light on it. And, of course, as I say, it was particularly fun for me because I was in solidarity with her, you know, right at the same time. So, yeah, it's good.
Yes, yes, yes. It's great. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, sitting there in meditation, I think, oh, really? It's, you know, transformation? Okay, breathing in, breathing out. And then in daily life, we have one of those moments when we realize practice is here for me. It does support me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And those moments are fabulous and really great to get on the recorder so that it gets filed under practice success rather than, you know.
What a great point. To, what a great point. Yes. When that happens, grab that recorder and immortalize it.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Great idea.
Got all choked up over it.
But yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Michael. Yeah. Do whatever while I get a grip on myself here.
I could go ahead and read the announcement while you get it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. I will go ahead with those announcements. Stop, drop, and text encourages mindfulness in daily life. Sign up now for the next 3-week session starting August 29th. The limited number of spaces in this popular program are filled on a first-come, first-served basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And there are just a few slots left in the Hero's Journey retreat. That's September 1st through 6th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. This fun and unusual retreat with Sherry and Ashwini will explore the nature of the path that we in spiritual practice are walking together.
Mm-hmm. The very one that Scott and Anne were just talking about.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. All of us together.
Yeah. Great. And join you, Sherry, for a fun and interactive workshop debunking the extremely popular and age-old myth of too busy, not enough time.
Yes. Oh, it must go. It must go.
You mean it's not true?
Yeah, I know. Really? I don't know. We'll have to go and find out, right? I don't know. I think it's true.
Well,
so my experience.
Well, I'm going to be there, so I'm going to have my own experience and find out.
Oh, good, good. We'll find out then. We'll report back, right?
Okay, good. This workshop will be held Saturday, October 22nd at the beautiful Namaste Retreat Center in Felton, California. That's in the San Francisco Bay Area. And all proceeds and donations will benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes, at which you're going to tell us about too, right? Surely, because it happened just a short time before that one.
Yes. So get support for Catching Conditioning's Bamboozles with the Empty Teacup Challenge, which is running from now until the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So be on the lookout for our bamboozles and record how many you're spotting on the Teacup Challenge page at the Living Compassion website.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. It's good, yeah.
I have noticed, I don't know about you, but I've noticed a couple of bamboozles since we started this.
Yes. Yes, I've noticed a bunch, too. I'm sure there's others I've fallen for, too.
Yes, I'm sure I missed a couple. But it is good to have it. You know, it comes out every week, the one we're focused on, and then you get to record about it, which somebody tipped me off about. You know, you record that, and then you can refer back to it every day and then keep track at the end of the day and celebrate in the middle when you go, ah, got you, you little con artist, devil you. Yeah, it's fun. And then it all goes to help out the kids.
Yes, yes, exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. And our final announcement, two new group coaching opportunities will be starting up in September. Conversations with the Mentor beginning September 21st and Mornings with the Mentor beginning September 28th. These weekly group sessions offer support and accountability for your recording and listening practice commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Lots of fun stuff.
Lots of fun stuff. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. You ready, Sherry?
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, I'm ready. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greg calling from Connecticut.
Well, hello, Greg. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing very well today. Thank you. How are you two doing today?
Excellent, excellent. I speak for myself. I think Michael is excellent, too. Is that true, Michael?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All
great,
right,
great.
So tell us what's going on, Greg.
Well, I was out at the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat last week. I was out in the monastery. And had a tremendous experience, thought it was fantastic. Really learned a lot, and it was just a wonderful experience. Great.
Oh, good. So, if we use our favorite life changing, would you concur?
Yes, I would. I've been calling it transformational, a synonym for life changing.
Oh, okay.
But I have
all
been,
right.
I
we'll
been
we'll go for that.
I have been qualifying it, though, since it's only been less than a week since I left. So it's, we'll see. But so far, so good. so far, so good.
Yeah.
I
just wanted to, they did warn you that mm-hmm. it only lasts as long as you keep doing the work. did they break that piece of news to you?
They didn't use those exact words, but I figured that. I figured that part
okay.
was true.
Okay,
it was implied.
Good.
And they did say that the next 6 to 8 weeks in particular were very important, that we needed to be ready, that the voices were going to be fighting back.
Oh, yeah.
And
backlash.
So, yeah. So that.
And have you noticed that?
Not yet. A little bit.
Oh, good.
I've been doing more recording and paying attention. So it's happened a little, but not too badly yet. No, No big backlash yet. But I'm ready.
That's the point, right? Because if you continue to pay attention like that, if you continue to stay on it and do the work, then conditioning is going to have a really hard time getting you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to thank you for, you know, start writing the book, I guess, and the facilitators were fantastic, all of them.
Aren't
Chris
they amazing?
And Jen and, Ashwini and Scott. But Chris and Jen were doing most of the heavy lifting, and they were wonderful, and it was really good. So
They model what's possible, don't they?
Yes, yes.
You know, so often when people come out of that retreat, what they tell me, because when I'm not traveling, I'm there for the last workshop, and I get to meet everybody, and people will often remark that the experience is extraordinary, but the most mm-hmm. extraordinary thing is that people are able to be absolutely present and attentive for days on end, that they don't lose focus. And and almost all of us have never seen that before, because it just doesn't happen in very many places. And so to see that, to see people who are doing that, lets us know that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
No? So if we've never seen it and somebody says, well, you know, you could live your life in the present, you kind of go, huh, well, maybe. But once you've seen people do it, then you realize, that can be done. And if they can do it, well, I can do it.
Yeah.
Because humans can do it. Yeah.
Good point.
So you were going to ask me.
Quick question. The facilitators also suggested adopting a kind of measurable commitment for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And what I decided to do was increase my meditation, and I decided to go for it, and I'm doing 2 half-hour sessions a day, which is what we did during the workshop, during the retreat. But historically, I have meditated. I was doing around 20 minutes a day prior to going to the retreat. Historically, I've meditated with my eyes closed. And I started with my eyes open on the retreat, and I've continued with that, but I'm really struggling with it. Surprisingly, I would think it would tend to keep me awake more, but I'm having much more trouble staying awake. I keep falling asleep or, you know, almost my head nodding. Mm-hmm. And seems like my mind is wandering more than usual. And I was wondering if that's really a strong suggestion to meditate with the eyes open, or is it a personal? Okay.
No, it's that old Zen stuff. And the reason for it, now, first of all, I would like to just speak for a minute to the concerns, right? Because mm-hmm. No matter what we're told, we hold a belief, and I say we because I don't think there's anybody who ever started meditating who down the road at some point didn't realize, good grief, I was carrying a lot of beliefs and assumptions along this trail with me. So there's this unconscious, often, assumption of what meditation is and what it should be like. And what meditation is our ability to learn how to direct attention. That's the first thing that's going to happen. And they're really, all of the stuff that conditioning would throw at us, like I'm falling asleep, or I'm in pain, or I can't keep my eyes open, or I can't find a quiet place, or the world is just too noisy and distracting, or whatever it is. All of that's based on an assumption that I'm getting somewhere. I'm going to have a particular experience. But if we realize all we're learning to do right now is to direct the attention, so the attention wanders and I come back. I fall asleep, I wake up. The attention goes somewhere else, I come back. I'm in a conversation, I'm planning next week, I'm remembering something that happened when I was in high school. day and I come back. I'm just constantly mm-hmm. bringing the attention back to this here now. And that's it. So that said, the reason that we meditate with our eyes open is that we are moving toward a place of being in the mind of meditation all the time. Mm. Not just when we're sitting, but all the time. And if okay. there is, so you've noticed, I'm sure, the amount of connection there is between vision and attention. So you look at something, and there is a conditioned conversation that goes with whatever you see. So for most people, attention is once in a while looking outside, basically looking around just enough to make sure I'm not running into anything or tripping over anything. Attention is usually turned inward onto the contents of conditioned mind, right? It's in that conversation.
Right,
and so
right.
if we sit with our eyes open, what we learn to do over time, just through that practice, is to disconnect vision and attention.
Okay.
So, yeah, so you're sitting and your eyes are open, and they're not open looking, right? Because that you got that, right?
We're
not looking. They're just open.
I'm sitting, in front of a wall. Yeah, they're open. I'm trying to kind of relax my eyes.
They're out of focus. The one we use, you know, the spider walks across the wall, suddenly your eyes will go into focus because you're aware that it's there. You can see it, but you're not looking for it, right?
Right.
And then, again, when the attention is in the eyes, we are looking. We're not just seeing. So as you get comfortable with your eyes open, then when you stand up after your sitting practice, your attention doesn't just leap to your eyes and all of the connections that go with that, that process of check the room and then turn back into conditioned mind for an opinion about whatever is going on. The attention is relaxed and you'll find over time dropping. So it's dropping out of the head, away from the eyes, even away from the ears, right? Dropping down into the body. You're with the breath. You're with the belly. The attention now is increasingly relaxed in the hara, the lower abdomen. And so you can be anywhere doing anything, and you're in the mind of meditation because all that means is attention is here with you. It is under your direction. And increasingly, attention is focused on awareness.
Okay, I'll stay with it then. I will stay with it.
Yeah, can I offer you one more?
Of course, please.
Okay. So that's a big leap that you made in that commitment, and my hope is that you didn't get set up. Because often, you know, conditioned mind will give us a commitment that it's pretty sure we're not going to be able to stick with. And so if it turns out, so this is the setup, you know, so you miss an evening. Something happens and
mm-hmm.
you just, you know, you can't. And then, okay, well, you know, I missed one. Okay, all right. And then something happens and you miss another one. Now it's starting a campaign of, well, you know, your commitment was for twice a day, and you're not sitting for twice a day. So why don't you just sit once a day, right? And that's the way it begins to erode our decision. And so if that begins to happen with you, make a conscious decision to do something different. And this is the difference that I would suggest for you. If you were to do your 20 minutes morning and evening, or you were to do
mm-hmm.
a half hour in the morning, and you were to record about your experience and listen to it throughout the day, I suspect
mm-hmm.
that your practice would chug along a notch up.
Okay. I will.
Okay? Because the reason behind that is that it starts to take the contest out of practice. We're practicing
right.
because we want to practice, because it lights us up, makes us happy, makes us feel good. We enjoy it, and we want to keep it there. We don't want it to turn into something that conditioning can use against us and can begin to turn into a negative in our lives.
Yes, good point. I did tell myself when I decided to make the commitment that it might not be 100%, and that
That's
would
right.
be okay. That it, well, I realized
right.
it was a big commitment, and I was going to give it a try, and be ready.
You're
going to
do your best.
Where maybe I, yeah, right. That I was going to be ready
right.
for those days that maybe I couldn't do it, and not let that snowball, like you said, and turn into a.
That's right. Because I missed today. That's great. I'll do it tomorrow.
I will
I'm
try
back,
that.
Right
I
back
have
on my
recorder.
Commitment tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
I've got my recorder.
Your friend.
So I'll try that recording about the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And do that. So,
yeah, and one wonderful recording that I would suggest for everybody is a recording that you can add to keep making recordings of as time goes on and your practice changes. But why I'm doing this? Why I want mm-hmm. to meditate? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and it takes it out of that should contest comparison and just reminds us that. This is for my heart. This is something I'm doing for my heart. That's why I'm doing this. Whatever your version of that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank
Great.
You, sir.
Thank you so
lovely
much.
Lovely meeting you. Let's be in touch.
Lovely meeting you, too. All right.
Okay.
Have a nice evening.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Greg. Fabulous conversation, Sherry.
Yeah, I just, practice, it's just the best. It's just simply the best.
The best. Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm calling from Washington.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm good. You?
I'm fantastic. I like
good.
Greg. I was at your place last week and your place. I know it's not just that. And I had a
well, it's our place,
experience.
Right?
It's our place. Oh, I love the sound
yeah.
of that. Yes.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful experience and I had an unexpected experience and I thought I could ask maybe a question about that.
Love it.
What brought me to the retreat, I've sort of been a dabbler for many years, and I decided it was time to get serious. And so coming to the retreat really let me sink into practice in a deeper way than I had before. And kind of a little backstory is that I had, and I shared at the retreat, that I had had cancer treatment for 16 months. And I'm theoretically, I'm done with that, but I was left with a feeling that there was a before me and a now me, a current me, and that
mm.
I grieved the
mm-hmm.
loss of the old me, and that was, it was very powerful, and there was a lot of sadness, and I can recognize, how the voices kind of fit into perpetuating that belief. So
uh-huh.
the marvelous thing that happened was that while I was at the retreat, I did the work, and I didn't work with that material at all. And when I left there,
I'm sorry, Lisa. What with that material? I missed that little piece.
I didn't.
What with that?
As part of the workshop, I didn't try and
uh-huh.
work with any of that material specifically about that sense of before and after, Lisa.
Oh, I see. I got you. Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but by the end of the retreat, I discovered that it was gone. That sense of the two me's had evaporated, and
wow.
of course I'm thrilled, and I
yeah.
and so I'm kind of marveling, like, was that really just a week of not telling myself a story, or the voice is telling me a story? Or,
what do you think?
Well, maybe.
Yep, I'm gonna agree. Yep.
That's fantastic. And I'm very grateful. I came away with a lot of stuff that I did expect. I came away achieving what I hoped to achieve, but that was just so unexpected to have this just lightness of just like, yeah, I still have all the effects of what happened, you know, the force of that, what it does to a person's body over time, but it just doesn't feel like so much of a problem anymore.
Yes. I'm first of all, I'm really happy for you. Really, really happy for you, because the kind of universal application, so for anybody who hasn't had an experience like the one that you're describing where they would go to that, you know, before, me before and me after, the thing that can happen in a situation like that, so you're going along, you're being you, and then you get a diagnosis of cancer. And which is huge, right? And there's all that goes with that, And you're just completely, you're a completely different person as a result of everything that you experienced. And then you're through with that experience, as you say. Now it's time. Now this is where you are now and who you are now and all of that. And what the voices will do is keep you from the joy of who you are now by keeping you in a conversation about who you were then and what happened and what you've lost and how you've changed and how it's not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. The broad application for all of us is that process is how karma keeps people in suffering. And it really is that straightforward. So in this moment of my life, there is only this moment. There actually, if these Buddhists have any clarity on this, there isn't even a me, okay? There is just this experience now. There's just this present moment. Right? And I am kept from having this life experience because what I'm living in is a story of who I am. And the who I am is a result of all those other stories about everything that happened to me that got me to this moment. Now, the notion that there's no such thing as a me is really, really important, because when we close in on that, when we go to a place of experience with that, what we realize is that every one of those stories are being told by an ego survival system that actually had nothing to do with what happened to that person that I think of as me.
Okay, I'm with you.
You with me? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you know that this is true. I mean, it's what people do all the time, is just walk around telling stories about what happened to me when. And it could be what happened to me this morning, or it could be what happened to me 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when I was six, whatever it is. It's not true. There's nothing true about any of it, because the only thing that actually exists in this moment is this moment. Everything else is an illusion.
Right. It's passing.
And we can
together
see that, right?
Later. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. We can see how that is true. And the thing that part of the reason I'm so happy that you have seen this is that, again, if you hadn't, the odds that the rest of your life would be ruined by a story of how great your life was before this happened, right?
Uh-huh.
And how
right.
awful your life is since this happened, that would be the way conditioning would like it to go. Even though we have great good news, right? You have survived this. You've made it. You're here, right? And the thing that's fun to look at once we see this part of it is, before you got that diagnosis, those voices had a story about what was wrong with you and what was wrong with your life then.
Absolutely. There was plenty to discuss back then.
Exactly. But as soon as cancer happens, then all of that, it just gets a rosy glow painted
mm-hmm.
over it, right? Oh, it was mm-hmm. it was all so wonderful and so perfect, and now, oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, truly, truly, the thing for us to just consider is if we never told another one of those stories to ourselves or anyone else, if we never allowed the voices to perpetuate that conversation, we would have the lives that those voices tell us we could have if we were different. Because
mm-hmm.
we would be the only difference that matters. We would be living without those voices.
Mhm. Mhm. Things would be
Isn't
a lot
good?
Quieter. Yes.
Oh, and happier. Right? Because you would just look around and it's pretty, and there really is a lot of amazing stuff. There are a lot of kind people, a lot of goodness in the world. Yeah, and you would be seeing all that, and you would probably actually be talking to yourself about it in that way of, gosh, that's a beautiful tree. Wow, what an amazing
mm-hmm.
sunset. Right? We do that.
I've been doing much more of that, absolutely. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's a conversation we can live with.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank
mm-hmm.
you for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And I'm
pleasure.
Happy to be part of Sangha.
Yeah, me too. And come back to your place, our place. We call it our place. So, but you can call it your place if you like, because we each can have that relationship with it. Yeah. Anytime.
Okay.
You're welcome anytime.
That's great. Thanks so much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Lisa. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa, and another fabulous conversation, Sherry. That was fun.
I know. I'll tell you, anybody who hasn't been to that There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, better hop on it. Huh?
Yes.
I think I'll.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Great idea. Great
yeah.
idea.
Yeah, I haven't done it in years. And we have some dynamite facilitators, right?
It'll be
fun. Yeah.
Yes, we do.
All right. What do you got going on, Michael?
We're going to break now and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beauty?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
All right, great. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Come on, computer. There we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Ian
Hello.
From Washington State.
Hi, Sherry.
Ian?
Hi, Michael.
Hi there.
Yes.
How are you?
Hi. I'm doing great, fantastically well, and just in case other listeners are wondering, I didn't get paid to call, but I want to just repeat how fantastic the retreat was last week. I was also down in at our monastery, and it was brilliant. Everything was fantastic. Just a really compassionate environment. Great experience all around, from the food
The food was good. The food was good. That's good. Those little monks are back there in the kitchen rolling out that good food. But let me ask you this, because I worry about those of you from places like Washington State. It wasn't too hot?
It was okay. We were experiencing some heat up here, but it was a little toasty for me, but I think I just slowed down a little bit, and I got used to it. And it actually seemed like it cooled down. The first day, I think, was the hottest, and then it kind of cooled down. And
We try to do that. When you come in, it's really hot, and you're like, whoa. And then we kind of cool it down as you go along, and then by the time you leave, you think, well, that's a darn right pleasant place, even in the summer.
It was. It was actually. It was really, really beautiful. I didn't really know what to expect, and the forested area, and the amazing thing, how quiet it was out there. I was just stunned. There normally, where I live, most of the time I'm in Seattle. Right now I'm up on an island working, but outside of Seattle. But there's always some kind of air traffic noise or dog or something. You know, you just get used to it in the background. It's just fine, but out there, it was just stunning. It was almost like being in the middle of a desert kind of environment. It was just super, super quiet. Yeah.
So, Ian, I'll tell you a little story. When we bought this property, it's pretty rural, right? It's less rural now than when we bought it in 1987. And so we have 320 acres, right? Mm-hmm. And and people around here had never heard of a Buddhist, but they just knew that they were foreign and scary, right? And so there was a big rant in the county, and what their point was if you're not doing anything you shouldn't be doing, why do you need so much land? And of course, what I didn't say is exactly what you experience, because it takes that much buffer to get away from the noises of civilization that sadly we've all gotten so used to. You know, what are those blower things and mowers and chainsaws in the country and beep, 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 beep of vehicles going backwards and, you know, those kinds of things that, as you say, we get to the point where we don't hear them anymore. But they take a toll on our nervous system, whether we're hearing them consciously or not. So, yes, to be in that quiet is just heaven, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so the two things really I noticed, well, many things, but, I mean, the beautiful trees and then the birds really could stand out, and just everything was just vibrant. It was really wonderful. And, you know, the sound from the water was like a major auditory feature, and of course there's very, very little monks and residents are super considerate. I mean, really, just so many things to say. I'm kind of getting lost, but I think I'll start there.
You better come back.
So I very much like to, and maybe stay longer, or, you know, stay for another week or whatever it is, but I would honestly love to. So, you know, I want to just say it was just absolutely expertly run from the, you know, facilitator side, and then my fellow retreatants were beautiful, wonderful people, and I just felt really privileged to be with them, and also I'm grateful for the people who made it all possible. So the people who were cooking and the people who kept the place clean, and they were so kind and compassionate, and they just maintained this wonderful, privileged environment. And I understand what that is now. Early on, it's a privileged environment. Now, what exactly is that? But when you're there for when you're there for a few days, it really is a privilege. And I just felt so incredibly grateful. And I found my heart sort of just breaking open. And tears would, I don't cry very easily, but tears would come up, and obviously conditioning would say, oh, there's something to be sad about. Well, not really. It was just kind of tears of gratitude and opening and joy and of course appreciation, and really almost like I'm thinking like the Olympians, where I was watching some Olympics, and they've just tried so hard, and they're finally things just happen the way they happen, and they just are overcome with emotions. It's just a very, very beautiful, beautiful feeling. I really felt that deeply, and it is very life changing. I will say it. I do feel different.
You feel different,
I feel different. I feel myself. Yeah. Sorry.
Yes. Oh, what a wonderful subtle point. Yeah. You feel yourself, which feels different, doesn't it? Because we.
I do.
Conditioning really can get us far away from ourselves.
Right.
It's constantly I was saying earlier the thing about seeing facilitators who can pay attention just day after day after day after day, just right there, fully present and attentive, and it's an amazing thing. And the other thing that people report constantly is you come in, and they're small retreats, right? But it's a maximum of 8 or 9 people, whoever are there doing the retreat together. And so you come in, and you're strangers, and we do the stranger thing. You know, we kind of look at each other, and conditioned mind forms opinions, and then it goes on a little bit. And by the time the retreat is over, we are just completely in love with everybody there and can't even imagine how they could ever entertain a voice in their head telling them there was something wrong with them, because they're such, obviously such beautiful, precious, sweet, dear creatures. And then we leave there, and you go out, and in my experience, this fades after a while unless we keep getting booster shots. But you go out into the world and you think, you know, I bet if the 8 of us were together like that, we would have the same experience. And then we can just go 8 by 8 by 8 around the world, knowing that when people have a chance to drop into that deep heart place, that all that's there is beauty.
Right. Absolutely.
Beauty and love. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is lasting. I feel it's just been a week since I've been out, but I do feel it's very life changing. I noticed just coming out, I was just looking at people differently in the store, on the train, on the BART, in the airport, the TSA people, and the people in the checking in at the airport, and the fellow passengers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and just thinking, we're all just human beings sharing this place.
Doing
we're sort of in different. Yeah, we're doing the best we can. We're in different environments. But a lot of people, I'd say I don't really think I have any enemies. I have some people I love dearly. And then there's this huge, vast sea of people who I'm just sort of neutral about. I don't know them. I don't really have an opinion about them. And But coming out of the retreat, I sat down on the train, and this elderly lady sat right across from me, and she pulled out this radio, and it was blaring radio, and I thought, well, that's kind of odd. And and then she turned it off. And normally I would just think, well, that was sort of an irritating noise, and just ignore her. But then I sort of looked over and smiled, and we had this wonderful conversation. And it turned out she was from Ireland, and anyway, he had lived in a similar area in California many years ago, and I just sort of, it felt like, that's just so neat. And then how many interactions with people in everyday life, could turn into something beautiful like that, rather than just staying kind of in the neutral zone, sort of like, oh, well, I'm picking up my groceries, and, they ask me how I am, and I tell them how I'm doing, and I don't really check out how they're doing, for example, or, so I've just I've been more, I don't know, people, I haven't freaked anybody out as far as I know. No, the police haven't been called. I haven't done anything illegal.
I think he's a stalker. I don't know.
I'm one of those Buddhists, you know. So it's just really, I think it can affect, I mean, it has affected my life in a lot of ways. And
it's kind of addictive, isn't it, Ian? It's kind of addictive.
It is. It's a very nice addiction. It's a very nice thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate it. I'm very grateful for you and for Michael. I've been a fan of the radio show for a couple of years now, and also 2 years ago I took the first email class, and so I'm glad I made it. I made it down there finally to retreat. So hopefully soon I'll be plugged in and see what comes up next. But, yeah.
That's right. Now you know where we are.
Exactly. So it was wonderful. So thank you to everybody.
Good.
Meet everybody. And I just had one question. When I was there, I was just, the food was great. I would sit down, and before eating, I just felt this, I felt compelled to sort of say a prayer of thanks. And it sort of stunned me, but I was, I was a bit overcome by that, because normally I don't do that. I was raised in a, Episcopalian family, and that I haven't gone to church regularly for many years. But I was just there was something that I needed to just say. I just said, I thought it was sort of an odd experience, but every single meal I did it, and I came back and told my friend, and he just laughed and thought it was great. You know, he said, "Yeah, of course, Ian, that's." But I just wondered if you had any thoughts about
that.
I just wondered sort of from a Buddhist perspective. I mean, what are we praying to, or are there prayers?
Thank you just be thank you? Right?
Yeah.
Before we move on from that, though, I don't know if they're Western medical or Eastern medical or who these people are, but there's a growing understanding that expressing gratitude before we eat actually helps our digestion. It helps the body receive the food in a better, easier, healthier way. So that's a fun part of it. And that's often confusing for people, because in a Judeo-Christian, primarily Judeo-Christian culture, although we are on the, the ascendance, so we could take over at any point. the assumption is you're thanking God. But in Buddhism, there are expressions like one that I'm fond of: as I fill my body with nourishment, so may I fill my heart and mind with forgiveness, love, and compassion, which is a kind of a variation on the theme. Right, and then there's also the giving thanks for everything that has brought this food to you. So everything from the earth to the water, to the sun, to the people who grew it, who harvested it, who brought it, who cleaned it, who cooked it, who served it, and it becomes a very inclusive gratitude for all that we receive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I get that. Absolutely. Everything that came together to make this meal possible. And
that's right.
And, when I got started, I had to kind of stop because the food would get cold if I kept going. Thank you. The sun.
Yeah.
Another
thing that you'll see out of the corner of your eye sometimes when people are eating is that people make gaucho in between each bite. So they'll, pick up the fork and take a bite of food and then set the fork down and make gaucho as they chew the food. So there's a my heart and your heart are one. Now you could say, well, does that salad really have a heart? And when you spend a little time with it, you go, of course it does. So,
Right.
And it just feels good, doesn't it?
It
makes you present and, it just feels good. So
It just feels right.
Yeah, I walk around saying thank you constantly. just any and everything all day long. And simply because it makes me happy.
Right. And yeah, that's so beautiful. That makes so much sense. And I guess kind of it's the kind of the logical thing to do. It's nice that it helps it, and I can see that, you know, kind of slowing down, etc. But also just the kind of spiritual dimension of really realizing how fortunate we are to have this beautiful food and beautiful surrounded by beautiful surroundings and beautiful people and so compassionate that it creates. Well, they're so compassionate creating that whole atmosphere, the whole, you know, everybody from the facilitators to you, of course, for writing the book, and for Michael for advertising on the radio show, and to the people who are cleaning the washrooms and the showers, and just absolutely every aspect.
And
you know,
even beyond that, Ian, because, of course, we are supported by people's generosity. So people all over the, so when we, you know, we say to you, it's our place, right? And the hour is everybody. It belongs to everybody, and everybody, I mean, thousands and thousands of people contribute to that place and make it possible for us to continue to offer this work in the world. So thank you to everyone who, you know, ever pounded that earth down into those walls to send donations from the other side of the world to support the monks and support the practice. And yeah, it's a huge, awe-inspiring, beautiful force, I would say, force in the world, because it brings all of us to that place of gratitude and loving kindness. It makes us kinder people, more compassionate, more gentle people. And goodness knows, it seems like the world can benefit from all of that we can manage.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot. It's like filled up. I felt like I came home to myself, and I felt like I really wanted to give. I was rattling on about meeting people here and there, but just, being kind to the poor TSA agent who has to check ID, his entire shift, and people are impatient, and they think it's silly, but just really looking, and, you know, they're just human beings like us, and everybody needs to, presumably if we all have voices of conditioning, they're suffering, and sadly they, may go to their graves not having an opportunity like I had, and so I make
that's
just
right.
eternally
so
grateful.
If you can look them in the eye and smile and say thank you, and they can feel that gratitude from you, you just never know what a difference it might make for somebody. But we do
absolutely
know what a difference it'll make for you, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, so I'm a bit over time, I'm sure, but that's my bit. So
well,
thank you so much.
Great to hear from you. Thank you, Ian. Take good care.
Thank you,
see you soon, I hope.
Thank you, and thank you, Michael, too. Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Ian. Wow. Sherry, I am seriously lit up over here. Awesome.
I know. Me too. Me too. It's so fun. Yeah.
And I think we have time for another conversation here.
All right. Let us know if we, go into the next person's program.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we're about 6 minutes.
Thank you, Michael.
Hours.
Oh, and Michael, I don't know, just quickly before we let everybody go, and I'll forget at the end, we want to remind people to sign up for the Bridge Walk, right? And especially to sign up for T-shirts, which I have forgotten to do, by the way. I just saw my family and got the T-shirt order. So it's really important that we sign up and order our T-shirts. So they, if we're going, they can feed us and get us a shirt. And if we're far, far away and can't make it, then at least you can have a T-shirt to remember the day. Be with us in spirit.
Got it. So go ahead and register and get your T-shirts.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, sure. And let's get this last caller on here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Ilona. I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Well, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
Excellent.
I'm calling because I was listening to the archives and I was inspired by another Sangha member who was telling you about she was thinking of joining a Feldenkrais training. And I just was like, I just wanted to be part of the universe that's nudging her towards that decision.
Oh, but we don't go there. We don't go there.
Well,
so you can just tell me about you. Just
okay,
tell me what's
so my,
going on with
I,
you.
I love that method of awareness practice. That's one thing I wanted to share. The other thing that's going on with me is I had a very big breakthrough with my writing.
Lovely.
I wrote something that a lot of my friends and family thought should see a wider audience deserve to see, and without getting caught up in the usual egocentric rat's nest of resistance, I just emailed the piece to Arianna Huffington, who is, well, she's about to step down from her job, but she was in her job at that moment. And, you know, in 30 minutes, I got a yes, we'd love you to publish this on our site. And it was one of those moments of, like, everything lined up, and I don't know. I felt like I had been catapulted into a different reality, or maybe into reality.
Uh-huh.
And it felt like a practice moment of just sort of going with the flow and not trying too hard and not strategizing and also not talking myself out of taking, you know, that next step. And after my article got published, I received this huge like wave of wonderful feedback from the world. And then when the wave receded, I was sort of feeling like, okay, now I feel like I was back on my little island of, you know, being isolated by conditioning. And so I'm like, okay, I know better. I feel like I know, quote unquote, know better than to have that happen, but it did. And so I was just, I don't know. I'm trying, I know I can't I would like to continue feeling the way I felt in those moments, even if the circumstances are not identical. And so
Have you done the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat?
I have.
Did you get some tips?
Well, I did that retreat many years ago. And I think what I started to do with this thing was I created a document with all of the wonderful comments I received. And I was like, okay, I'm going to record this and listen to it every day. And then I keep not recording them. It's like, it's nuts. So maybe I just needed to tell you that so I will get off the phone and go record them. But
the thing that I would encourage is it's great that other people say whatever they say.
Right.
Okay, it's lovely. And then a bunch of people will say a bunch of things that you wish nobody had ever said to you. Okay?
Right.
And so in Zen, of course, we talk about no praise, no blame. So if it doesn't matter to you that somebody thinks you're wonderful, then it's not going to matter that much to you if somebody thinks you're horrible. But if you get attached to what people think and what people say and what that means, it is bound to end in suffering. There's really no alternative to that unless you die immediately after a great infusion of praise. Okay, because that's just simply the way it works. So my encouragement to you is for you to record what is true for you. What is true for you and about your life and what you appreciate and what you choose and what you stand for and what you're committed to, what makes you want to get up in the morning, how you would like to participate, what you would like to contribute to the world. Record that and listen to that, because that's what you're going to have with you all the time. Whether people love you or they hate you or they don't know you exist, you will have what is so for you.
Okay.
You with me?
No, I am with you. I think what I said did not accurately reflect my experience. It was sort of like I felt like I had been in this big reflective listening conversation with the world, and that whatever I'd put out there was reflected back to me. And so it wasn't necessarily praise. It was more this feeling of being reflected. Or anyway,
yes.
I hear what you're saying. And I think the way I described it wasn't completely true,
but
I get your point.
Yeah, because my point, of course, is they reflected you the way you wanted to be reflected.
Ah, okay.
If they had reflected you in a way you did not want to be reflected, it would have been painful.
Some people did, and I ignored them.
Uh-huh.
Anything that gets up on the Internet for public consumption, there's just a lot of hate in the world that gets expressed there.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I hear what you're saying about recording what it is that I want to bring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's not dependent upon anything. That's without condition. And that's what's
right.
Important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right,
very good.
Thank
and
you
might think about doing that retreat again. Apparently, it's dynamite.
No, I know. I think I will think about doing it again. It's been a while since I've been on retreat, but I'm glad I got on, and thank you to you and Michael for hosting the show.
You are most welcome. Thank you for joining us. Take good care of yourself.
All right.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Alona. And that brings us to the conclusion of a great show, Sherry.
It does, doesn't it, Michael?
Yeah, it was
yeah.
fabulous. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, then,
yeah.
I think we should do it again.
Okay, I will talk with you next
All
week
right.
then.
Okay.
Thanks, Sherry.
Sounds good. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Good night.